I have no rhythm. And you know, those who watch me, I can't clap and sing at the same time. I just... But good morning. I hope everybody's excited to be here as I'm excited. I'm excited. I don't know about you guys. I'm excited every Sunday that I get to come. I don't know about you. You know, when I was on the road, Laura and I took our trip. We didn't stop at church. I'll be honest. It's the first time I had not went to church on a Sunday, and I don't know how long. But we did go to church on a Saturday night. So I did go to church on a Saturday night. But I just miss it. I don't know. I just love here. It's exciting to get here to see all you. And especially when you guys are smiling, it really helps, all right? Give you a little hand here. And I'm just excited. A lot of good things going on. I got to work at the church a couple of days this week. I'm sore. Anybody know what that's like? You know, when you're used to sitting at a keyboard or you're knocking on somebody's door, that's usually hard work. You know, I hurt my knuckles sometimes knocking on your doors, visiting and that kind of. You know, but they maybe pull wire and put insulation in. And, you know, so it's an exciting time for our church. And I'm excited about what God's doing. But we're going to start a new series, and it's called Kaleo. But I want to just kind of share a little bit with you right now that we're getting ready to go back to our building. I guess, you know, it's exciting. Our church is going along well. I mean, if you go back in now, you might say, well, there hasn't been a lot done, but they're doing a lot down there and a lot of things going on. And we're going to move into our building soon, all right? I'm not giving any dates, and that's kind of out there somewhere, and God's got that under control. I know somebody who does know. God does, all right? But we're getting ready to go back. But here's my challenge as your pastor and what I want. I want to know what kind of church we're going to be when we go back. What kind of people? Because the church is not us. That's just the building. That's just the shell. You know, it's like this body right here, this gorgeous body of mine, you know, this, you know, it's just a shell, all right? Who I am is who God created me to be. Well, that's just a shell. I want to know what kind of church are we going to be when we go back? And so for the next few weeks, as we get ready to go back, almost every message from now until the day we walk into that church, I'm going to challenge us to be what kind of church? What kind of church do we want to be when we walk into that building? What kind of image do we want to project to Salida when we walk into that building? Who do we want us to, when they look at us, when they hear our church and they think about our church, what do they think of? And so beginning with this, man, I'm going to kind of start setting a tone for us to say, listen, can we be like this when we walk into our building? When somebody sees us, they might not know what we believe. They might not know what we think. They may not even like what we stand for, but they have to go back and go, you know what? They do have something. There's something different. There's something going on in their lives. And there's something special about what's happening there. That's what I want us to hear. And so I got this Greek word, kaleo. Kind of show off my education a little bit. You know, I did study Greek at school. Don't ask me Hebrew. I didn't do very well in Hebrew, but I enjoyed Greek. This is a Greek word, and it stands for to call. To call, get inviting, to urgently invite someone to accept responsibility for a particular task, implying a new relationship to the one who does the calling. And what I want us to think about is God has called all of us. You are called. So in the next few weeks, what I want to look at and what I want you to look at as you follow your outline here this morning is that we're all called. You're called to do something. You're called, and this morning I want us to say, we're called to care. We're called to care. We live in a world that is very busy. It's very rushed. It's very high stress, lots of pressure, lots of things going on. You know, we live in this American culture. And we run and we go, places to go, people to see, things to do. And we live this life. Do we care? Do we really care that God called us to care? I shared with you about Laura and I, our trip driving across back from Orlando here and going across Highway 10, that Freeway 10, going across Texas from Orlando to El Paso, 500-plus miles of nothing. You know, I mean nothing. If you get two radio stations, you're lucky. And one of them is going to be Spanish because it's across the border right there. All right? I mean, you know, your phone gets a little circle on it, and you're going, what is this? You know, you don't get the, you know, the bars. Forget the bars. You get a circle with a hole in it. What does that mean? I don't know. You know? And you're driving across this road. But as we're driving across the road, I'm going, what if I break down? You know, what happens if I run out of gas? Because I'm telling you, it's 500 miles, and gas is $3.75 a gallon. And it's a long ways. I wish they had a sign. I'm going, you know, they should have a sign that says next gas. How far? Because I'm serious, you could go 100 miles and not see a gas station. And I'm wondering, what happens if you break down? What happens if I run out of gas? Would somebody care enough to stop? Now, here's the other part. What if I seen somebody walking with a gas can? Would I care enough to stop? Especially as you're driving across and you see a sign that says, don't pick up hitchhikers, because there's a prison nearby. You know, what do you do? Do we care? You know, as we're going across, there was a trucker that was broke down. A big old semi-truck sitting along Highway 10 in the middle of nowhere. But there was another trucker behind him. He was going the other way. But my question I asked myself, would I have stopped? You know, if I seen somebody walking with a gas can, would I have stopped? You know, honestly, I don't know. You know, I'd like to think, well, I'm Gary the preacher. Yeah, I would stop. But would I? Do we care? Are we so rushed in our lives when we see somebody struggling, we see somebody somewhere, do we just keep going? I've shared that time when my tire rolled off my car. You're driving down the road and you see the tire go by and you realize it's yours. You know, it's like, oh, I got trouble. Yeah. And it's Christmas Eve and you know, somebody had loosened the lug nuts on my car. And, you know, what are we going to do? And this young couple stopped. And so I left Laura in the car on the middle of Highway 99 in the car with the kids, and I took a ride. That's scary. And I feel how scary it must have been for them to pick somebody up. Do we care? Do we care? Are we so rushed? Are we so busy? Do we care? See, I want to say God called us to care. God called us to care. Look at the scripture. Look at what it says. It's a wonderful passage. I have no one else like Timothy. This is Paul. He's in Philippi. And he writes this letter. He writes a letter to Philippi. He's in prison is where he's at. I have no one else like Timothy who genuinely cares about your welfare. All the others care only for themselves and not for what matters to Jesus Christ. You know, I kind of see Paul sitting there saying, you know, well, let me begin with this. Do you sometimes feel like nobody cares for you? Have you been in, you know, a situation, a circle, maybe right now that just nobody cares, you know? Maybe it's financial. Maybe there's just a financial stress. Maybe there's some family issues and it just weighs heavy on your heart. And it's just, does anybody care? Nobody understands. Maybe there's some schoolwork and some pressure at school to perform, you know, the grades, the teacher. You know, maybe a teacher's a jerk or the classes, you just can't quite understand those problems. And, you know, maybe it's at work and some coworker. You ever feel like no one cares? You ever sit back and just go, does anybody care? Does anybody really care? Does anybody know what's going on? You ever feel like that? Anybody ever feel like that? Yeah. Maybe you're here this morning, and, you know, as I was writing the message, I wanted to do this morning. I wanted to pray because I know I've been in those times. I don't know about you, but I've been in those times. You know, right now, you know, things are pretty good right now. I mean, you know, I still got a lot of issues, and I'm one of them. You know? But, you know, but maybe you're here this morning, and maybe there's something. Maybe there's a broken relationship. Maybe there's some finances, or maybe there's some work, or maybe there's something at school, or maybe there's, I don't know what it is. I'm just going to ask, I want to pray right now. I want to just pray. I want you to bow your head right now with me. And I just want to pray. And maybe if that's you this morning, with all our heads bowed and our eyes closed, if you want me to pray for you, you raise your hand. If you say, you know what, I just need some prayer, would you just raise your hand? And I'll pray for you. Thank you. I see the arms. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Anyone else? Thank you. Thank you. Lord, you know the hearts of these who've lifted up their arms. They're raising their heart to you, Lord, because life is hurting right now. Lord, I don't know what the issues are. I don't know what the circumstances are, but whether it's financial or whether it's health or whether it's physical or whether it's in a relationship or whether it's at a school or in the workplace or right in the own home and a husband and wife, Lord, I lift them up to you. You care, Lord. You are a God who cares and is concerned, and you love us. So I ask you to love on them in a special way, Lord. Wrap your arms around them. Let them feel the warmth of your love and your compassion and your care. Let them know that they are not in this alone, that you will walk with them, and that you will be with them, and that they will never be alone, for you will never forsake them. And I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. We all get in those kind of circumstances. But why don't I look at it from another perspective? Because this is what Paul's saying. You know, we all hurt. Paul is going, I only got this one guy who cares for you. Most of us, if you get in me, now I'm going to be honest, most of us have enough issues of our own, we don't have time to care for others. We got enough struggles, we got enough problems, we got enough things to do that we get so busy with our own lives, isn't that what that verse says? They care only for themselves and not what matters to Christ. Because what matters to Christ is others. It's ours. We're what matters. And so I want to challenge us, and I think this is what Paul is sitting there saying. I think this is a great challenge for a church. Do we really care for others more than ourselves? Do we care when someone else is hurting? Do we care when someone else is struggling? Because here's the challenge. You know, to say I care and not act is not caring. If you look at your outline, I gave you a little blank to put in there. To say you care but not act is not to care at all. If I blow by that hurting person and say, good luck. That person maybe who's hungry, maybe who's struggling, maybe who's hurting, and just wish them luck. Have I really met their needs? And see, I want to challenge us, do we care? Will we be a church that goes back into Salida, that goes back to our building? And will we care for our community? Will we care for our neighbors? Will we care for those across the street? Will we care for those at work? Will we care for those down the street? Will we care for that person sitting next to me at school? Will I care? See, it's a challenge. But we're called to do it like Jesus. And it's really interesting. You look at Jesus. Jesus had compassion. Maybe that's the word I want to look at. I gave you a definition of compassion here. This is another Greek word. I'm not going to try to pronounce it. It's been so long since I did. But the word compassion, to feel compassion for, have pity on, have one's heart go out to someone, the bowels, to be moved to action. You know what's interesting with the Greek? And when you look at the Greek culture, their words really express where their feelings came from. When you're emotional and you're having stress in your life, where do you have problems? In your bowels. And so that's what they talked about. They talked, your emotions were down here. When you get an upset stomach and you get stress and you have anxiety, you get stress, it starts here. And so that's where they had, and so they felt compassion comes from inside of you. It grows inside of you, but it calls you to action. If I say I care and do nothing, do I really care? Do I really care? And when you look at the scripture over and over, Jesus is one who had compassion. I give you three. Look at these three references real quick. These are three references of Jesus and his compassion, just real quickly. When he went ashore, he being Jesus, he saw a great crowd, and he had compassion on them, and he what? He healed the sick. He was moved to action. He's seen a need. He's seen a hurt. He's seen some struggles, and he was moved to action. He had compassion that moved him to action. You know, here's another one. Look at what it says here. Jesus had compassion on them and touched their eyes. Immediately they received their sight and followed him. He fed them. He healed them. When he seen these needs, he had compassion. And that drove him to action. He didn't say, well, be well fed. God bless you. See you later. He did something. He moved something. He acted. Look at this last one here for Jesus. And many saw them going and recognized them. This is being Jesus and his disciples. And they ran there on foot from all the towns and got there ahead of them. When he went ashore, he saw a great crowd, and he had compassion on them because they were like sheep without a shepherd, and he began to teach them many things. You can see he ministered in many ways. This compassion drove him to teach. The compassion drove him to heal. The compassion drove him to feed. The compassion moved him to some kind of an action. There was something inside of him that was stirring and moving when he's seen these needs, when he's seen these hurts. There was something inside of him. He cared enough to act. And I want to ask us, when we come and as a church, will people look at us and will we be caring enough to act? When we see somebody hurting, when we see somebody struggling, will we be caring enough to act? Jesus has a great story he tells. There was a lawyer one time, came to Jesus. You might be familiar with the story. It's called the Good Samaritan. Anybody know the story now? It's called the Good Samaritan. This guy, Jesus was telling a story. A lawyer comes to Jesus and says, listen, I want to go to heaven, you know, kind of, you know, what do I got to do to get to heaven? Now, I want to tell you, this is a good lawyer. He knew. He had heard Jesus preach. He had heard Jesus teach because he quoted Jesus back what Jesus had been teaching. Jesus, you know, Jesus, what do I got to do to go to heaven? The guy quotes back, boom, right off. God, he says, God, love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your might, all your soul, and love your neighbor as yourself. Jesus goes, and that's Jesus says, well, what do you think? The guy says this. Lawyer had heard Jesus. He knew the teaching. He knew exactly what Jesus had taught. Love God, love others. Care. Do you care? But here's the lawyer part of him comes in now. Okay, that's what it says. Now, who's my neighbor? All right. Now it's like, yeah, that's what I'm supposed to do. Look at what the scripture says. But he, desiring to justify himself, said to Jesus, who is my neighbor? Who do I need to love? Who do I need to care for? Who do I need to watch over? Who do I need to have compassion on? I mean, is it everybody? Is it the guy next door? Is the person sitting next to you here in church this morning? Is it the one in the desk next to you at school? Is it the person across the street at home? Who's my neighbor? He's trying to justify himself and trying to lay things out. And so Jesus begins to tell that story of the Good Samaritan. All right. So Jesus starts outlining the story. And let me kind of set the context here. He's talking about the Samaritan being on this road, this road. It's, just to give you an idea, it's 17 miles long. All right. It's a 17-mile long road. It goes 3,000 feet, drops, winding, crooked, dangerous road. It was one of the more dangerous roads of its time, all right? And so it's not one of the roads that everybody just traveled on nonchalantly. And so Jesus tells this story. Look at how he starts the story here. Jesus replied, a man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho. 17-mile trip, windy, crooked road, 3,000-foot drop. And he fell among robbers who stripped and beat him and departed, leaving him half dead. So he's going down this road, and as he's traveling down the road, he's jumped, he's mugged, he's beat up, all right? Ever watch this UFC stuff? Anybody watch this UFC stuff on TV? You know, they just UFC job. They left this guy, they just beat the living snot out of this guy, all right? They just waylaid this guy and took this guy out. He's half dead, it says. Now, by chance, a priest was going by. Oh, wait a minute. So here's this guy half dead, laying there, mugged. It's like, you know, it's kind of like you don't want to go on this road. It's like if you don't park your car on this road, it's going to get stripped, okay? You don't want to walk down this road by yourself at night. Laura and I went over to, we stopped on our way to see at Bourbon Street in New Orleans. And I got on, and it's really fun. I'm going to tell you something. You can get on the internet, and you can find police reports, all right? And you can find little dots on the map of where crimes are. And before I went down in that area, I got on the internet and I looked at New Orleans and where all the crimes were in the last 5 days. They had all these little dots. And, you know, pickpocket here and a mugging here and a break into a car here. And it's like, okay, what street do I want to avoid?